And of course, thanks for making Locked On Nets your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms.
Oh, buddy, got a great show for you here. Hit us with the beats.
You know it. Preseason game number one had so much, we had to go for a second episode. We're talking about returning Bruce Brown and the evolution of his role on this Nets roster heading into the season, the addition of one Paul Millsap and what his game is going to bring to the table, and then another familiar face in LaMarcus Aldridge and just how the Nets have provided veteran experience, depth that is going to fill out this team as they look ahead to a fantastic upcoming season.
Had fun on this one. Love talking about some of the growth we saw, and definitely in Bruce Brown. We're going to get into it all, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Adam Armbrecht. Find me at Adam Armbrecht on Twitter. Looking for Doug Norrie. He's over there at Doug Norrie on Twitter as well. And this is the dang show, Doug, where we dive back into that preseason game because on a Tuesday, we have plenty to break down from it beyond the rookies. I feel like we got swept up, as we should have, in Cam Thomas and what he was doing on the court. But there's also some other new faces and familiar players from last year that showed us a lot, I think, to take away. Even in preseason game number one, there's a lot to digest here and worth taking another look back at.
Yeah, like we were gushing about the rookies, and as well we should have been after Sunday's preseason game, depending on when you are listening to this. And, you know, the expectations were sort of low-ish for this game. We knew that Kyrie, Harden, Kevin Durant, Blake, Joe Harris, Patty Mills, they were all sitting this game out. So it was just going to be one of these, you know, let's see what we have in some of the new guys and, like, just kind of make sure we have enough bodies to get the job done. They start Bruce Brown, they start DeAndre Bembry, they start Javon Carter, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Paul Millsap. A little bit of a weird lineup, but you had to take notice right away of what you saw from Bruce Brown, right? Like, right out of the gate. We probably could have started yesterday's podcast by talking about what maybe has changed in Bruce Brown's game year after year after they bring him back on the qualifying offer. And I don't know, because, like, of this group, the rookies are one thing, but Bruce Brown's going to get minutes on this team.
Yeah.
And if his game expanded a little bit, then they just have something even more than they had last year, which was already way more than they thought they were ever getting from this guy.
Yeah, this is the piece where I think you don't always look at everybody else on the court and wonder how it's going to impact a guard. Now we know Bruce Brown was playing out of that role certainly last year, the pseudo five. But when you add a Millsap, and when you add an Aldridge, and when you add a Bembry, and even when you draft a De'Ron Sharp, just, you know, big picture, all these bodies, you got all these big bodies, plus throw in Kevin Durant there as well, and Blake Griffin coming back. You look at how crowded that five-ish room looks, and we thought about it a couple weeks ago of what will Bruce Brown look like. Now, you didn't have James Harden, and you didn't have Kyrie out there, but along with Javon Carter, there were stretches of this game where Bruce Brown was running the point. I don't think he ever did that last year, and I don't know how much he'll need to do it in the upcoming season, but it is very interesting, and I'll say exciting, to think about Bruce Brown getting back to what is obviously a more comfortable role for him. Even if he excelled well beyond expectations last year, I don't think anyone looks at that from last season and goes, so just do that again. Like, there's going to be adjustments there. Teams are going to have some tape on this and think about how do we get more physical with a guy playing well out of position here. Now, if you put him back into his more comfortable role, I think that he can be equally, if not more impressive this season in a totally new way.
Sure. When he came over from Detroit, he came over as maybe this little bit of on ball. You can run a little offense through him. Wasn't much of a shooter. Was pretty good in defense. Could play a little above his body type in terms of defense. And what they got was just a totally different guy. Was the short roll center that could pass really well out of the short roll. Rebounded the position awesome. Was an absolute scrapper. Tons of big minutes for that. Just sort of moments for him as over the course of the season. He became this totally different guy than I think that's what they thought they were getting. And then in the offseason, we were kind of like, well, if we could get that and the game continues to expand a little bit, then they really, really have something, right? And the ways that that was going to expand were to get back into the on-ball stuff if you need him to. He talked in the offseason how he was working on his three ball, and we saw right away in the first quarter, he drained two above the break threes. One was just dead on center. One was, like I said, like a little bit above the break. They look super smooth. Mm-hmm. And if that's just going to, he's not going to be asked to do that when he's on the court with the big three at all. Like, that's just not where he's going to sort of camp out in terms of just in terms of overall shot. But corner threes, like if this becomes a part of his game where he's going to be able to play sort of like maybe a little foul line extended on the short roll and then be able to leak out to the corner as in drawing defender and you need to respect it, then all of a sudden Bruce Brown has taken another piece of his game where he's can be ultra dangerous in like this little weird Swiss Army knife role. And if that's what they have, again, one preseason game, but if that's what they have with him, then man, he actually becomes like a pretty important piece for this team because we already know the defense is there.
Well, and this is the other part of it, too, when you think about, okay, you're going to have James Harden. Let's assume we're going to have Kyrie Irving. We know that they added Patty Mills, who didn't play in this preseason game. But now if you talk about being able to, you know that the Nets want to stagger the big three. You want to be able to spread them out so that for stretches, you always have the value of probably two of them, at least one of them at all times. So if Bruce can settle into a guard role and be complimentary and handle some of the ball handling duties, well, now all of a sudden you can mix and match Harden, Kyrie, Patty Mills, Bruce Brown, and even Javon Carter, I mean, maybe Cam Thomas, and we are, you know, up to six now with those little sprinkle-ins, but at least those top four, right? Stop it at Bruce Brown. Those four guys now, you can combine them in any which way you want and always have a really effective backcourt there that can do things from all levels of the game, right? So that's a different dynamic than last season, even small sample size of health. You always had this drop-off of if Kyrie comes out, who's alongside Harden now? If Harden goes out, who's there? If both of them are off the court, or if one of them is injured or missing time, all of a sudden your backcourt really became kind of a non-factor on both ends of the floor, not just one phase. No, they were zeros on the defensive end, and you couldn't rely on them offensively, even if Mike James, you know, had a couple of bursts there for you. So we talked about this team getting better in this offseason. Some of it is just by keeping the players you had. And I'm sure, by the way, that we're going to get the same sense of this when we get a taste of Blake Griffin at some point down the road, too. Guys settling into their most comfortable versions of what their game are and then excelling at that. Looks like Bruce Brown is going in that direction.
And we already know he can share the court with these guys. Like, it's good around sample size pieces that we already know. It's clear that he has a role when he plays with the other guys. He doesn't need the ball. He can, again, he can defend other point of attack. He can be the point of attack defender when he's playing with guys like Kyrie to take the defensive load off him. That's a really important thing for this team. When he gets matched up with some of those guys to be able to, again, anytime you can lighten the defensive load for the other stars, like that is actually worth a lot. And we already know he can do that. He can coexist on the offensive end because he's super unselfish. He's a great cutter. He actually understands open spaces on the floor in an area where his defender is not always going to want to go, i.e. the key, you know, like in and around the basket, which is not typically where, this is why he was so effective last year, right? It was that he would be able to slip defenders because you don't usually need to respect a guy of this size's game in there, except all of a sudden he's really good at it. And so if you need to respect that piece of it and worry about the leak out in terms of like corner threes and stuff like that, then again, because like this, it's so important at this point for this iteration of the Nets to have guys that understand their role around the superstars. And we don't know what that looks like for Cam Thomas. We don't know what it looks like for a lot of other guys yet. Paul Millsap even, right? Well, it'll be fine, but we just don't know. Bruce Brown, we know.
Yeah,
we already know what it looks like. And the fact that we already know what it looks like and it can get better, like that is, there's a very good chance that this contract, the offer that he signed and the thing looks like such a bargain. It was already kind of a total bargain based on what we knew he provided specifically for this team. There's a chance if the game has expanded even just a little bit that, and I believe that it probably has, then this is going to look like a bananas bargain.
Well, and by the way, for all the things we're talking about that we saw in the preseason game here and what we think that can mean for Bruce Brown, none of the skill sets that he demonstrated last year go away. So now when you talk about the different rotations, he's still going to be, out of a guard position, someone you have to respect from a rebounding standpoint, someone that you have to respect being able to body up on switches against larger players when you're on the defensive end. So everything he did last year still gets to be utilized. You probably just get to do it a little more selectively, which is going to be to his benefit and to the team's benefit overall. So listen, expansion of his game and... What, like you said, what was probably a sweetheart deal feels like it gets even a little bit sweeter. I want to get into, obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge. He gets back on the floor. We technically had him on the court last season, debut for Paul Millsap, and what maybe we think we can start to gleam around them. Before we get into it, though, of course, got to let everybody know, does this sound familiar to you? You're sitting there and you're trying to get one device that catches the game live, another one that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. And as I tell you, I'm begging Doug Norrie. We've been working together. I've known the guy for over 4 years. I cannot get the password to any of his platforms. I don't know what the deal is. The bottom line is, though, there is a much simpler way to get all your entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV all together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter. Get rid of the confusion. Get rid of Doug Norrie if he doesn't want to be a sharing kind of friend for you. And get yourself the TV all together in one place with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more over at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
And if you're online, I mean, everyone's online at this point. It used to be if you wanted to start a business, you wanted to sell some stuff online, or excuse me, not even online, those brick and mortar stores, you needed an inn, you needed some salespeople. It was kind of a huge hassle. Not anymore, folks. It's really easy to sell stuff online, and that is why you absolutely have to get on Shopify. These are the tools that used to be sort of reserved for the big businesses. Not anymore. Shopify makes it so easy for upstarts, startups, even established business to sell everywhere. You can synchronize your online in-person sales. You stay informed. The metrics are amazing. Shopify makes it easy. They can scale with you. You start out small, but Shopify is going to move up the chain with you at scale. It's all there for you. And Spotify are powering over 1.7 million businesses from first to full. Reach customers online, social networks, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Shopify's integrated all of those places. If you're starting an online store, Shopify grows with you. It's all powered by our friends over at Shopify. You have to check these guys out. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA, all lowercase. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA for a free 14-day trial. And you're going to get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Worth its weight, folks. You have to check this out. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA right now. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA.
All right, so I want to get into LaMarcus Aldridge, also in Paul Millsap, obviously making his official debut in the preseason for the Brooklyn Nets. I want to also thank everybody, though, for making the Locked On Nets podcast your first listen every day. We're, of course, free. We're available on the platforms. So you follow us. We help you. You help us. It's a big supporting community, and we really do appreciate it, as we tell you all the time. Thank you so much. Continue to enjoy it. But let's start with Paul Millsap, because he's the new member to this team. LMA, obviously, very small sample size, but I think Millsap is a player that excited when the Nets signed him. I think that maybe my perception of him was that he was a little bit longer in the tooth than he might actually be. And this kind of can be the case for players that drift around the league a little bit, change teams a few times, and feel like this secondary thought, this afterthought kind of piece. What did you see in the first preseason game, but then maybe gets you excited about how he changes the dynamic of these lineups and rotations?
Well, just even back to last year on the Nuggets, this guy is, the minutes had started to dwindle near the end just because of how the offense they were running, and just like he could definitely play with Jokic, but they didn't really want to run him for 30 minutes. There were certain matchups that were going to cause him slight issues. That's not going to be as much of a problem here. Pairing him with Jokic is just a slightly different thing than pairing him with the sort of the offense that the Nets run. So he actually, I think, integrates better for what the Nets are running. look, we know in the Nets, in the Nets style of play, there's a couple pretty important things. You need to be a pretty good screen setter. You need to be a wide body, and he has both of those things. Like, it's like, think about why Claxton struggles at times with the screen setting, right? Like, he's just not a, he's a small body. Like, Millsap's
not there. He's just not
right. No,
he's
but
there,
Millsap's
but
a load,
like, punching through a piece of paper. Yeah,
he's thick, man. Like, he's just a big dude, right? Like, he's a thick dude. He's gonna be able to play the center position for them at times. I know they paired him and Aldridge yesterday. I don't think actually that's a pairing we see a ton come regular season. I think it's probably too defensively limiting. But when he gets on the court, watch out when he gets on the court with these other guys, and he's a screen setter, because he can also pop out for three in times where the defenders either get caught up in a switch or leak. And so you're going to definitely see that from him a lot, I think, in terms of, because he's just, the looks are just going to be good for him. You know, like the Denver's kind of style, you need to be really good at cutting. You need to be super off ball to be able to work in with Jokic. That's important for the Nets also, but not as important. And I think when you see him, like I said, in that screen setting role, the defensive rebounding, which we know the Nets struggled with last season, you know, just be able to box out in terms of just being able to offer a little more physical size underneath. It's going to look really good. And look, he's not going to play 30 minutes a game for this team. 22, right. 23 minutes, something like that is what we're going to see. And I want to get your thought. I actually want to, you know, see if you agree with this. I want to read one quote though from John Hollinger. He did a write up about the Nets today. And it's funny just trying to figure out a lot of writers trying to figure out what the Nets weaknesses are. But and Hollinger, I think, was definitely grasping and stuff. But he just wrote, signing Millsap for the minimum is just hilarious. So like,
that's
it was just
that up.
just to give you a little sum up of how other people are thinking, because we said this, we're like, when Mills signed with the Nets, Patty Mills signed with the Nets, people were like, oh, come on. And then Millsap signs for the minimum. And they're like, come on. Like, really? Every team would have signed this guy for the minimum. So the fact that the Nets were able to get him, he's going to be a pretty important piece here.
We know what's funny, too, and it's quickly on that thought of it. I think we said this across the course of the podcast as well, where, like, when a guy signs for a minimum contract somewhere, well, on the one hand, other teams go, oh, like, we would have signed him for the minimum. Like, yeah, are you competing for championships? Because Guess what? Then you could have offered him a contract with some more dollars amount. But if you weren't going to, what do you think he wants to do? I'm going to make a little bit of cash. I might as well put myself in a spot to win a championship. But specifically, when you talk about him on the court, I think you're right, because we didn't see a lot of the guys, you know, the big three, obviously, didn't see Blake Griffin out there either. And the one thing that I do think about is, remember, using Blake Griffin in the small ball five lineup, I actually think that now you get a little bit more flexibility there too. Because if you think about it being LMA and Millsap as the major wave for the five, now it's a little bit of a different dynamic about how you execute with Blake Griffin. And when you mentioned the pick and pop, Blake Griffin showed the ability to knock down some perimeter shots, but it was very much kind of in the lagging out at the top of the arc. Ball kind of comes back to him after the play has really fallen into the lane, and he gets to kind of run into those threes. I think Millsap, labeling anything about athleticism when you're talking NBA players, is a little bit odd. But to your point, I think Millsap is a little bit more, you know, affluent at setting that pick, drifting away, and knocking down those threes when the opportunity comes. So it's going to be a different wrinkle playing off of a Kevin Durant, and maybe even playing off of, you know, James Harden, any of these guys. The athleticism that Millsap brings creates a little bit more fluid and open offensive set, which I think is, again, the carryover for the Brooklyn Nets is, were we athletic enough and individually on the ball and collectively able to create with as much fluidity as possible for as good as they were offensively last year through the injuries and everything else? You did see the offense stagnate at times. And I think that's specifically what the Nets tried to address in the offseason was, how do we make sure that we are a steady wave of offense you have to deal with and not necessarily these big surges and then also lulls?
Yeah, if you think about Blake Griffin pick and pop, you can also almost picture it. It's like he pops out and then no one closes out because they're like, you can shoot it. You know, like this is sort of how the defenses treated him a little bit. They're not going to be able to do the same thing with Millsap. This is a guy, it was definitely run hot. He shot 44% 2 years ago from three. He's really more like a 35% shooter, which, again, for a guy his size is plenty good enough and something you definitely need to respect. Like, you're not going to just let him, you can't just kind of, you know, you can't just sag and just allow him to shoot open threes all day. in a way that maybe you would have been able to do it with Blake. He's not an above the rim guy, but he's super smart. He's always rebounded the position really, really well. We know that, again, I mentioned it before, we know this, the Nets, one of their huge deficiencies was rebounding last year. Like, they got completely crushed on the glass, whether by hook or by crook. I think sometimes it was part of what they... I think sometimes they just didn't really care. Like, it wasn't really...
Or by total lack of interest, it's not really the biggest factor, but... We know that it will become a factor, right?
Yeah, and I think sometimes they were willing to forego some of the rebounding because it was just going to allow them to get set up on defense a little better, or like they didn't need to overcommit to the glass in a way that was going to cause them issues elsewhere. I think he just probably begins to solve some of that problem just by his ability to do it. Again, super small sample size, he had 10 rebounds in 18 minutes yesterday, and so
solid.
And look, it's one preseason game and kind of whatever, but it's something that he's been able to do pretty well, even in limited minutes, right? Because again, the Denver really didn't play him a ton of minutes over the last couple of years, because he would start at times, but then it was sort of nominal starter. They would close, but he really didn't close that much. And he might not end up closing with the Nets here either, but in general, he is clearly such an upgrade over what they had here last year over the course of a season. Just it's really not comparable. This piece that Nets fans have been begging for, like, more traditional fours in their life for how long, right? And he kind of does give a lot of what the Nets want in that scenario, and it's totally correct to add this kind of piece now.
Yeah, sound offensive game, thick body, like you said, rebounder, and just adding another guy like that. Again, it also takes the load off of Harden, who is a good rebounding guard, or even Kevin Durant, who has the ability to, but how often do you want to make him do it versus the opportunity to just kind of say, listen, just wait for us to grab it for you, and away we go to the races.
Yeah, 100%. So you saw everything you wanted to see from him. I think it's going to look really good when he's paired with these other guys. Like I said, that big body moving around the perimeter, other guys trying to fight over those screens, that will be problematic. I think you're going to really see it on these other guys, like when the actual shooters and scorers on this team have the ball in their hands, you'll notice his impact a lot. When these guys are running around, sort of his Paul Millsap pin downs, like it's going to look, I think, really, really good. We're going to get into a little bit more. We'll talk a little LMA, kind of close off some other thoughts around this first preseason game. First, you know, our friends over at Bet Online, go to Bet Online right now and just look at the championship odds and just feel good about it. You know, I mean, we're going to want you to sign up for, we'll get to the account sign up here in a second, because we're definitely going to have you sign up for an account over at Bet Online deposit too. But just go over and just revel in the ideas. We open the season, when you see that Nets plus 240, I think it's sitting at right now on Bet Online for the NBA championship. Just kind of warm your heart a little bit. Bet Online's your number one spot for all the pro and college action this season. They have a new updated site. It looks super slick, super easy to use. Odds, props, contests, everything you would want is over at Bet Online right now. Go and sign up for an account on Bet Online. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. You have to use the promo code Locked On, just like our podcast network. Football, basketball, boxing, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers this season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports like basketball. Bet Online, where the game starts.
So from the standpoint of LMA, for me, the preseason game ties into what Sean Marks had said and what LMA had said. All the lead up of checking the boxes, right? I felt like just LMA being back out there, that was the big thing. Like, I still do think that even though I assume everything's good and he's clear, it's also just nice to see him out there playing. His game alone, and there's plenty of that to go into. I also do think that when you talk about analyzing LaMarcus Aldridge's game, maybe a little bit different than the way we think about Millsap or these other players that have come in, Blake Griffin last year, how are they going to change or shift or do things different with these stars? To me, it's like LMA is, you know, this dude's a fine wine. He's just doing what he does. Always tastes great. Like, I don't see him doing a lot of things differently for Brooklyn, but I think what he does do, it's great. It's a great game. It's complimentary, and it'll be really effective when you have these other great scorers and facilitators around him.
The great thing about these Millsap and Aldridge signings specifically is that the Nets, look, if Aldridge or Millsap at this point is your big offseason signing for your team, you're probably a little bit worried. Let's just be honest. These guys are older. Like, it's just, these guys are older. They're veterans. They've been around a long time. If they were your big offseason splash and you're not the Nets, there's, or unless you're like four teams that are vying for the championship here, five teams, you're kind of wondering what happened. Now for the Nets, when they can play each of these guys 20 minutes, rotate them in and out, they kind of do just enough stuff a little bit differently from each other to not really overlap. I don't think you're going to see them play a ton together, but they don't need them to. I think these guys are all there to sort of fill out a lot of center minutes for the Nets, right? These guys are going to be effectively the centers for the Nets this season, in some shape or form. And Aldridge just fits the bill there too. He's older. The game has really declined from the days when he was like a max guy heading into San Antonio. I think we all know that. But again, he can rebound okay. He can stretch the floor a little bit. The release makes it a difficult proposition for some defenders to be able to hang with him. He can screen set an okay amount. I think you'll see that, and we started to see that where he's going to get some open looks, because if you just play with these three guys, if you are good at knocking down open looks, you can be really successful. Like, that's kind of the story with a lot of the Nets, right? If you are a good shooter, if you're a good off-the-ball shooter, if you're a good shooter that can get to a spot and be able to take a shot when it's available for you, you can do a lot of damage here, right? Like, that's just kind of how it sets up.
And he's still going to get to give you those occasional little baseline, right, jumper, little turnaround shot that he's kind of been accustomed to doing. Right. But I think you're right. Yes, you know, utilize the parts of your game that are still there. Obviously, he's probably the furthest one from his prime of anyone that the Nets have brought in here. And I almost... bringing in Millsap as well, and then returning Blake Griffin, as we all the players we've highlighted, in some ways, LMA has a role here. It's going to be good. His game's going to look nice. And also, like, I do have a little sense of, it's good for everybody. Come on back. You want to be back in the NBA? Come be back in the NBA. You want to be on a championship team? Come be on a championship team. Like, there is some sense of that. If there's anybody from this offseason that's just that is kind of here to be there for the ride and give you what he can when he can, Aldridge falls into that category probably the most among any of these guys. I don't even mean it negatively, but again, he's the longest in the tooth. His game is specifically what it is and is not going to change or look different for this roster. And it's still nice, and he's still a veteran presence, and it still works. Am I diminishing where he's at too much at that point? Because I think it's fair, right, that he easily is going to be the first guy that you'd say, if he's only getting maybe 18 minutes a game, you're not confused by that. You understand what's happening.
It'll be interesting to see how they start the season with starters. I think they'll end up starting Blake just because that's where they finished, and I think that it would be like a little weird to just slot
demote
one of the
him.
Other. Yeah, what's that?
Demote Blake in some form or fashion. Yeah. Like, he earned it, right? He earned it last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was there at the end. He gave him everything he could. It would be weird to not have him be the starter day one. And so I think he will end up being it. But like I said, I think we'll see all these guys sort of flopping around, switching around positions.
Flopping
around like fish on the court. Swapping around. I combined flip and swap, and then it became flop.
If they were flipping around, it'd be just as, I'd be more impressed, but neither here nor there.
No, but like, I think my expectation for Aldridge is sort of the same with all these guys, which is to say 18 to 22 quality minutes a game. And if he's the one of your first bigs in off the bench, like, your team is so good, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of the story of this team. If he's the guy that's coming in on a certain rotation and going to end up playing, like I said, 15, I'm keep knocking it down, 'cause I'm realizing if he doesn't start, it's not going to get to 22, but like, you know, 15 to 19 minutes a game of just good, high quality, mistake free basketball, like, you can survive the decline in sort of how he's aging into the game with just do all the little things right, hit open shots when you have them, set the right screens, move into space. He's a pretty good passer. Like, all this other stuff, it's going to look really good. And this is what happens with the Nets guys, right? We've seen this time and time again, when you have the ability to play with the big three, your game, the things you do well look even better, right? And the things you don't do well aren't as important because it's just,
because no one's asking you to do them.
Well, exactly. Like, you're not asked to, you're not going to be overtaxed. You're not asking, you know, maybe, you know, if you look at Aldridge, and one of the reasons that he had sort of begun to fall out of favor when it came to San Antonio was because there was still this idea around what he was making and like what he had become a part of for the team. And he was like, you know, a part of a superstar that maybe represented a missed opportunity or whatever it was around his time in San Antonio. And, you know, he's taking 10 shots a game, 12 shots a game, 15 shots a game. He's not going to do that for the Nets, right? He's not going to shoot this many times. You wouldn't think, although I guess he took around 10 shots per game when he was in the team last year. You just can't imagine where that's going to be sort of the usage, but that's okay, because when the usage declines, usually at this point, the opportunities just become better opportunities for when they present themselves, and then the numbers just end up looking really good. And so I think that's what we're going to end up seeing with him, because I think what we've seen from the other guys too is look at Blake last year. The buy-in to the team concept around what we need you to do, it's so much easier when you get to play with Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, and these guys respect these guys so much. It doesn't matter if you're an older veteran or like a rookie, the understanding that these are the guys that are the absolute best, and you maybe are at a different part of your career, buying into what they need you to do, like we saw Blake do it last year, and it works so damn well. I just firmly believe that this is going to happen for all these guys, and the output's going to be great. We just didn't get to see it enough from Aldridge, right? Like they all know coming into this what the situation is. They know the hierarchy. These guys are smart. These guys have been around the game for a long time. I think they just know it. It's going to look really good.
No, it's the obvious explanation about why do I do the podcast with Doug Norrie. I get it. I know where his game's at. All I need to do is show up, play my role, and all of a sudden I look like
Don't undersell yourself. This is the big two right here. I'm not going to put it in.
Three. Third one? God, knock it off. Stop.
Could you imagine a third? We'd make him or her feel so bad that they would leave after a day. That'd be my goal. That'd be like me in college when we got stuck in a three-man room because the college overbooked it, and we just had to be mean to the guy enough so he left. Like, you know, like a good person does.
For how long and how hard will I have to belittle you until you pack your bags kindly and leave, sir? It's a timetable, and I'm just trying to do the math.
How many times we need to not send you the link to the show to jump on until we just let you know that you're not on the show anymore? Yeah.
Did we record it all this week? No, don't worry about it.
Look, we recorded this late on Monday. There's a ton of NBA action that's happening in this first preseason game. I don't know most of the rest of the teams are playing this first preseason game. If something crazy happened in this first set, the only reason you're not hearing about it now is because we recorded this a little bit before these games. We're going to tune into a lot of this stuff tonight to see if there's anything cool that happens for the NBA. This feels like the beginning of the season. It's just really exciting to have all these teams taking the court again. It's awesome to be able to watch basketball. We're going to be here all season long. Make sure you're over on YouTube as well, that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, seeing the numbers really grow over there. The Kyrie video that went up, saw some good numbers from that. Make sure you comment too, because that's where we're able to jump in and have a little basketball conversation. Tried to do that on Twitter today. It was like kind of like, I don't know, what am I doing here?
Felt good about it.
I was on another Zoom call, and then someone texted me while on the Zoom call and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm not listening, and I'm arguing with someone on Twitter." So, I know I'm looking right at the screen, but I'm actually arguing with someone about if the Nets actually needed to sign a center in the background, or in the center in the offseason. So that's how I spend part of my day. Anyway, this is a long story short to say, go and sign up for YouTube.
You better believe it, friend. And listen, let's allow the listener to answer this question for him or herself. Who is the happier man or woman? He who has braved the storm of life and lived, or he who has stayed securely on shore and merely existed? Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, one of the all-time great American poets. R.I.P. Is he still alive? I'm not sure. We will be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.